Hey, everyone. This is Travis, and welcome to the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about something that is arguably, it's definitely more important than what kind of student loan plan that you have, and that's how to invest and how to know how to invest. We have this course, Six Figure Debt to Six Figure Net Worth. I launched it a few years ago. This is something that if you had signed up for it when I launched it a few years ago, I think right now you would probably have doubled whatever initial investment that you made. Now, I would like to say that's because of my special genius in investing, but it's not. It's simply when you know how to invest and you do it and you use tried and true principles and buy and hold for the long term, over a very long period of time, you are bound to make money and a lot of it. I'm going to talk today about investing in this current market with red hot inflation, the housing market's on fire, everybody and their their best buddy from their fraternity house is getting into stock market investing and has a brokerage account these days. And that's a really dangerous time to invest, even though it's also got a lot of opportunities. For those of you that don't know, the Six Figure Debt to Six Figure Net Worth investing course is something that we offer every 6 months. Sometimes when we offer it, we offer a large discount, and that's going to be the case for this launch today that's happening right now for the next 2 days. So I want to talk for a while about investing, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about this course. But let's talk about the beginning of this pandemic. You know, we usually are on this July-January calendar for our investing course. In the beginning of the pandemic, I felt like there was this huge investing opportunity, just generationally good investing opportunity when the pandemic really took its toll in March and April. I'm talking financially, obviously. It took a human toll. I'm just speaking to the financial aspect of it. So when the pandemic really beat up a lot of the stock market, I personally invested quite a good amount of the cash that I had on hand in the markets just because I thought that valuations were so attractive. There was so much bad news priced in that if you could stay solvent during, you know, whatever kind of recession that ensued, you're going to long-term make a lot of money. And it's interesting because I opened up our investing course in March, but at the end of March, which I very rarely do, because I felt like the opportunity was so big with what was going on in the pandemic financially that it was such a great time to invest. And we didn't have a ton of people sign up at that point, which is a real bummer because that was really one of the best times to invest in the past decade. Interestingly enough, you know, when we had that sort of GameStop moment back in January of this year, we had hundreds and hundreds of people sign up. So I don't know if our investing course signups are an indicator of stock market speculation. Maybe they are. I don't know. But what I really want for you is to learn about investing in any market environment, including this crazy, confusing, difficult one that we are all dealing with right now, where bonds are not good, stocks, ugh, they don't look good either. The housing market's bananas and doesn't seem to present a good value, and cash yields nothing. So what the heck do you do right now if you want to start investing and try to secure your financial future? Well, we're going to talk a lot more about that in today's show. One thing that I think that you can do just in general is when the stock market and every asset around you is extremely highly priced, that doesn't mean that you make bold moves and really shocking changes where you're going to get whiplash. That's not at all what you want to do. Okay, I'll tell you personally, I am continuing to invest aggressively every month. I will say, though, that I've slowed down the pace of my investments because I'm rotating some of that money towards bigger life goals. So, for example, saving for a down payment on a house right now would be a great idea. Buying a car, if you can eventually get one that is going to hopefully last you 5 to 10 years, is a pretty good idea. Rotating towards new cars versus used cars is a really interesting value proposition. So, you know, with used cars being a lot closer in cost to new cars that are under warranty, that seems like an interesting opportunity. So there's all kinds of different things that you can do. I think right now it's okay to maybe have a little bit more money allocated to fulfilling those life goals and dreams than you might normally when you might want to be more aggressively investing. If you have a market crash, you obviously want a lot of cash available to put in the market. Here's a great question. This is going to really demonstrate, I think, why investing is so important. So let's just do a quiz real quick. If you had $1,000 in 1981 and you put it in the U.S. stock market index fund, what would it be worth today? So 40 years ago, $1,000, how much would you have today? So the answer is $86,000 approximately. In other words, if you took $1,000 and just, we're not talking about if you'd pick the next Apple, that's not something that people would really probably have the, you know, the foresight to do, right? Picking the perfect company to invest in, that doesn't really happen. If you just invested in the broad U.S. stock market for 40 years and held it, you would have 86 times your money. I don't know if that's a word, 86 times, but you know, I don't know what the quintuple version of 86X is, but that's a massive, massive amount of growth. Put another way, what if you invested $1,000 a month for the past 40 years? So same story, since 1981, you were putting $1,000 a month into the market. You would have had over $9 million today. So this is something that, done right, can dwarf any kind of, you know, debt or student debt mistakes that you feel like you might have made. Knowing how to invest really fixes all financial problems. And when I say know how to invest, I don't mean that you know how to read stock sheets and you know how to pick the next meme stock and you know what crypto is going to the moon. That's not at all what I mean. What I mean is long-term, tried-and-true investing that's going to work almost 100% of the time over a long period of time. And it's not sexy, but it's kind of like if you know exactly what to do to avoid heart disease or something like that, wouldn't you want to know how to do it, even if it's simple? I mean, investing does not have to be super complicated. Now, I will say this, parts of investing can be really confusing and complicated. So for example, tax loss harvesting, picking the right index funds, rebalancing your portfolio. To somebody that doesn't know anything about investing, that's really scary and very intimidating, but it doesn't need to be. And I also think, too, you also have to know enough about investing to analyze and understand all of the complex investment strategies to know which ones you need and don't need. So I'm a chartered financial analyst. I have that designation. I traded about $10 billion of bonds when I was a trader for on this portfolio management team for one of the world's largest mutual fund companies. I interacted daily with some of the largest market makers like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citigroup, etc., and had to negotiate with people that made millions of dollars a year trying to make money off of me as a bond trader for, you know, a multi-billion dollar mutual fund company. So that's the perspective that I bring to the table when we're talking about investing. It's not to say that I'm anything special. Certainly a lot of people have more impressive experience than I do. But I have advised thousands and thousands of people on their student loan debt, and we have really had a ton of success taking people that have this unique problem of having six figures of student loan debt or five figures of student loan debt and completely 180ing and turning around their financial lives to make them not only financially successful, but financially abundant in their future by just turning around their understanding of their debt versus their assets and how to invest in relation to that debt. So one of the problems that you'll find with other kind of investing stuff out there is that it doesn't take into account that you have a lot of student loan debt. That's a big challenge. It's not something that should define you, of course, but to learn about investing, if you have a lot of student loan debt, you have to have it discussed in the context of having that debt, because a lot of people will be paralyzed and not know what to do about paying down the debt first or investing, or can you even justify investing? What if you're a veterinarian with $300,000 of student debt? How can you even justify putting anything into the stock market? If you're a social worker, how can you justify putting any money away into investments when you don't get paid what you ought to get paid? This is something, too, investing is not for just people that are dentists or physicians, although it is for you, obviously, too. It's really for everybody. And it's really for everybody because everyone can have a secure financial future if you know how to invest, regardless if you're making $30,000 or $40,000 a year or $400,000 a year or anything in between. Now, who is investing not accessible for? People that are working class, that's really hard. If you have kids, if you are struggling with daycare expenses or taking care of elderly parents, I'm not going to pretend that that doesn't present a massive obstacle and it's way, way harder for you, right? But I want to say that you can take control of your financial life even if you are making $30,000 or $40,000 a year. You might think, oh, this guy's crazy. It's true. Not in every part of the country, not in every life situation, but even a small amount of money, like we showed you, $1,000 invested 40 years ago would be worth $86,000 today. even if you're putting in $100 a month, that can make a big, big difference. You think I'm not telling you the truth here, but it absolutely is. So let's talk about this concept called harmonic mean. Harmonic mean is different from arithmetic mean and geometric mean. So harmonic mean is a statistic that matters for investing, and it's because of the counterintuitive nature of how investing works. Let's give an example. If you bought $20 worth of gas when it was at $2 a gallon and $20 worth of gas when it was at $1 a gallon, you would have bought 10 gallons of gas when it was at $2 a gallon and 20 gallons of gas when it was at $1 a gallon. You might say, what is the average price that you paid per gallon of gas? A lot of people would say, well, one time it was a dollar and the next time it was $2, so average the two together and that's $1.50. So that would be incorrect because you spent $40 total and you bought 30 gallons of gas. And if you divide those two numbers into each other, that's $1.33 per gallon. So the actual price you paid per gallon is significantly lower than when you might first think. So when you take advantage of this concept that might be original, and maybe you've not heard of it before, but when you take advantage of this concept and have a regular investing plan with a specific strategy that works, and you do it over the long term, you are guaranteed to be buying a lot more of investments at better and better prices over time than if you just randomly throw money in there and don't really have much of a strategy. That's the big difference between investing and speculation, is if you apply some of these statistical concepts and use an investment strategy that works, and you pair those two together, then you are basically locking in these amazingly low prices for shares of companies that throw off big earnings over the long period of time that will allow you to eventually not have to work anymore. What I hope for you is that you have so much money one day that you still decide to work because you love it that much, or you redo your job to take out the stuff you don't like and keep the stuff you do like. And that's just when you've totally found your calling, right? That's everyone's dream. Let's talk about the 2021 summer type investing situation. So with the stock markets at such high levels, any money that you invest right now, I think has a decent chance in the next several months to a year of being worth less than what you initially invested in it. And you might say, well, why the heck would I invest anything? Well, the market could still go way up. If this is 1997 or 1998, keep in mind that the market still went up a lot after that, even when valuations were already really high, right? So we could have that kind of an environment, or this could be August of 2001, where there's I'm not saying an imminent sort of global, you know, act of terrorism like we had in 9/11. There was already kind of a recession in place, but you know, you could be at this point where the market's pretty highly valued, and then it continues to go down even more from that point. So if you think about the kind of opportunities that presents from a financial perspective, if the market crashes or even goes down a little bit, say 10%, if you invest even small amounts of money, there is big opportunities for tax loss harvesting. So what I mean by that is you can take an investment in a brokerage account that you make, and then you can sell one mutual fund and buy one that's very similar but not identical, and then wait 30 days and then buy back the original thing that you had, and you can lock in a loss on paper without actually losing the money long term. So the reason is you can sell that investment that went down and then buy something that's very similar but not quite the same, so you don't actually lose money in case the market rebounds. And then you buy back the thing that you originally had, and then you can get a loss that you can use to lower your taxable income. So let's do an example. So let's say you have $10,000 of an investment called VTSAX. That's the Total U.S. Stock Market Index Fund. So you invest $10,000 as a lump sum right now. And now let's say that, you know, heaven forbid there's this big recession, unexpected, like a double dip recession post-COVID. And let's say that $10,000 drops to $7,000. Or we could just say, let's just say the stock market's a little overbought and it falls for that reason. Maybe the economy doesn't even go down that much. Maybe it's just the stock market that drops some. So that $10,000 falls down to $7,000. Now, that's a $3,000 loss. So you sell that initial investment and then you buy something called the S&P 500 Index Fund. One example of that is the VFIAX Fund. So that's something that you do and lock in a $3,000 loss. You wait 31 days, buy back the VTSAX investment you originally in, and let's you know, so because those two funds actually track one another with a really close correlation, that's why I chose those two. So you won't necessarily lose any money compared to being out at the market if the market rebounds a ton, and you got a $3,000 loss. Well, here's what's cool. That $3,000 loss, that's the maximum that you can use every year to write off against your ordinary income. Now, what does that mean in English? It means that if you have a loss, a paper loss, by the way, because you're still invested the whole time, right? That paper loss can save you, you can write off $3,000 of ordinary income and basically save that in taxes. So in other words, $3,000 is your deduction because you did tax loss harvesting. Now, $3,000 times whatever your tax rate is gives you the tax savings that you get. So your tax savings is probably going to be $1,000 to $1,500 for a lot of people. So $1,000 to $1,500 in savings is something, too, that you can stack because you actually get to carry forward any losses that you have to future years and if you have any losses that are unused in any given year. So, for example, during that period in early 2020, I did tax loss harvesting a lot for my own portfolio. And when you have more assets, when those fall, you can get even bigger losses, and those losses can be carried forward. So I got about 10 years worth of losses that I can use to lower my taxable income and save thousands of dollars every year on taxes. So this is something that's totally legal. It's something that ultra wealthy people do all the time. And it's something that middle class people really ought to know about, but generally don't. Tax loss harvesting, remember that term, because I think it's something that you'll want to Google when and if we have a stock market correction after this gigantic run-up that we've had in stock market valuations. So another big opportunity I'm seeing right now is workers that are older retiring from the workforce. Think about it kind of like this. If you are an older worker, things are fantastic right now. I recently went, got my hair cut, and it happens to be at this place where it's like mostly older women. And yeah, they cut men's hair too, and it's close to my office, so it was convenient. And yeah, this is probably like a lot more information than people need, but I have a order in for a car, and it's supposed to be like, supposed to be 1 month. Now I'm waiting 2 months to get a second car for the family. And so I'm riding my bike everywhere. And so, you know, you have to sacrifice and go where the services are within biking distance, right? So anyways, I'm at this hair salon and I just ask, you know, what kind of weird stories have you heard lately? And one of the hair stylists tells me some of her older clients have people just coming up to their door and then just offering them cash prices for their homes and they're taking it just because the number is so much higher than they ever dreamed that they would get. So think about if you're an older person right now. You have more home equity than you ever dreamed you could have because home equity and home values have just soared, especially in certain parts of the country, right? So if you've been thinking about downsizing or reducing your hours at work or maybe retiring from work, the value of your 401k has soared, the value of your home equity has soared, all the assets that you own are just way higher than they've ever been. And now you can get out of the workforce in one of the most stressful times to be in the workforce ever. You know, I don't care if you are worried about COVID or not worried about COVID, regardless of what your stance is on that, I will say that this period of time has been really difficult to navigate being in the workforce because you have to go back to work a lot of places initially. Like, for example, my father-in-law, he's older. He was able to work from home, and that was really great, right? And so he was able to work from home for a large part of 2020, and then he retired. But if he had not retired, people would be saying, okay, time to go back into the office. If you're older and you're more at risk for the virus or more worried about the virus, that's something that you want to avoid, right? If you are not as worried about the virus, but you don't want to have to go back in and wear masks and not have a normal office environment or something like that, that's also something that you want to avoid. So what I'm saying is regardless of your views on the world, if you're older, it's a great time to retire no matter what political stripe you happen to have. And so think about that opportunity if you are a younger worker. If you're a younger worker, you have all these people leaving the workforce, and that creates a huge opportunity. It's one of the reasons why the value of a worker is so much higher financially, and the wages of workers are really soaring right now. You know, certainly there's a lot of different reasons for that happening. Just think about it. If you have a lot of older workers, if your country is disproportionately older than, say, the developing world, then you have all these people that are retiring in mass waves that just really accelerated a lot of the retirements that would have normally happened. So if you are a dentist, for example, that wants to buy their own practice or buy out a practice, there's going to be all these practices for sale in the next couple of years. That's going to be a huge opportunity. So one thing that I'm telling people is, if you're a little afraid of the market investing, definitely consider investing in a business or maybe starting your own startup practice if you can't find one yourself. I'll tell you, most successful financially, that is, clients that we have of Student Loan Planner have been these people that have gone up and done startups and have just basically hired a company like a Dentographics, for example, to do a demographic study of, hey, where should you have a dental practice? And then they take their good practice production that they've generated over the past couple of years, and they take that to a bank, and then they say, okay, what kind of startup loan will you give me for this project that I want to do? And then they go out. Maybe they start off maybe 3 days a week and do 2 days at a corporate office just to make a little bit of money to make it seem a little less risky. And that kind of stuff right now is a fantastic opportunity. So there's going to be tons of investment opportunities that involve sweat equity with financial equity in the coming years. So if you are any kind of healthcare practitioner or maybe you're a lawyer, you're going to have all these opportunities to be a business owner and take the labor portion of your labor market value and then add in that owner's equity portion. So what I mean by that is, for example, if you're a dentist, if you work for someone else, you're probably going to earn 25 to 35% of the revenue that you produce at that job. However, if you become the boss, if you become a partner or you buy your own practice, then that jumps to 40 to 50% of the revenue that you produce, because now you are the owner and not just an employee. So there's going to be a lot more opportunities for that. So I just thought I would mention that, because I think, you know, unlike 2010s, when the stock market was good and recovering, but the housing market was still terrible, now you have the housing market and the stock market at high levels, which is going to really, I think, push workers towards retirement, especially if you have a lot of companies that ask for, you know, going to back into the office type policies. I think that you're going to see a lot of workers just say, you know what, now's a great time to retire. Let's talk about some of the risks for investing right now. The one big statistic that's glaring red to me is something called the Shiller PE ratio. What is a PE ratio? Price earnings ratio is the price of a stock divided by its earnings. It gives you a easy to compare metric to tell how valued the stock market is, and you can take that and compare it to different years in the past and see, okay, is the stock market more overvalued or more undervalued right now? So right now, this thing called Shiller PE, what it does is it goes back over 10 years and normalizes for things like inflation. So it gives you a really good kind of number to see how the stock market is compared to past years. Its current value right now is higher than the 1929 stock market crash. In other words, the stock market right now, relative to earnings, is more highly valued than right before the Great Depression. It is more highly valued than at any time since the dot-com bubble in the early 2000s, late 90s. Now, there might actually be good reasons for the stock market to be valued at a very high level right now. Interest rates are ultra low. Whenever interest rates are really, really low, that means that bonds are very much overvalued too, right? And so one thing you have to consider is, okay, if bonds are really terrible, then somebody that might have normally wanted to invest in bonds, they would maybe go look at a dividend yielding stock like an AT&T, and they would buy that instead because they really like the dividend yield. In other words, the stock market value can get pushed way up based off of bonds being such a bad deal. Also, you have to look at things like demographics. So just like the millennial generation coming into its own in the housing markets, causing this huge shortage and a ballooning market for housing, so too is the issue with the stock market with demographics. You have a lot of older people that are a lot wealthier that have all this money that needs to be put into the stock market, and all these pension funds, for example, that need to reach for yield and reach for rates of return that are higher that bonds cannot provide. So all of these big investors are putting a lot more money in the stock market instead of the bond market like they might normally. Also, you have a lot easier access to the stock market. There's never been an easier time to invest than now. If you think about back in the 1920s, if you were kind of a white guy with access to a broker and a telephone, you could get into the market, but it wasn't everybody. And now, you know, really almost anybody can invest in the stock market, and that's a good thing. We want to have everyone have access to the stock market. So that's a good thing. But if you have more buyers, that means that the price paid for something probably is a little bit higher too. the market's a lot more mature, and we have Federal Reserve intervening in a big way, propping up the stock market right now. The Federal Reserve has been buying $80 billion a month of Treasury bonds and $40 billion a month of mortgage bonds. So $120 billion a month, the Federal Reserve is supporting the markets right now. That pushes down interest rates. It's part of the reason the housing market is going so bananas. It's part of the reason why the stock market has mooned. Because if you have the Federal Reserve pumping massive, massive amounts of money to stimulate the economy for good reason because of the coronavirus pandemic, then it makes everyone less afraid of risk because there's, you know, just not any fear in the market right now. It's all greed. And that's a dangerous time to invest. The big risks to the market going forward is the Federal Reserve has to unwind that $120 billion a month of purchases without blowing up the economy. The amount of investments that they are doing is also causing some inflation. So the inflation right now is the worst it's been since the 2000s. You know, you can really see that anecdotally, right? I told y'all that I was waiting around on a car. I mean, it's not normal to have a 2-month wait on a car, and it's not normal to even have to pay MSRP, and a lot of people are paying like way above that suggested retail price to buy a car now instead of having to wait. In the housing market, we saw one house that it was at the very top end of our budget, and we just thought we'd look at it just for kicks, and it wasn't anything remarkable. It was just a normal house and had like early 2000s era cabinets, and the kitchen needed to be redone, and the bathrooms were uninspiring and needed to be redone. And it went for over $225,000 more than the asking price, you know, and that just blew us away, right? So you can sort of see the inflation everywhere. And the good news is the Federal Reserve thinks that this inflation is transitory. In other words, once the supply chains and the things reopen and get normal again, that these price increases will kind of come back to earth and it'll be a lot more normal. So we hope that's going to be the case. But if it's not, we could see a big drop in prices and investments. So for example, if you have a $700,000 mortgage, if you finance it at current mortgage rates, it's about $2,800 a month. If rates were only a little bit higher at 5%, though, that same mortgage, instead of $2,800 a month, would cost you $3,800 a month. So that's 30% more. That means that, you know, you could easily see housing prices fall if we have inflation start to impact negatively the housing market. And it could also impact negatively the stock market. There's also extreme speculation happening right now. You know, let's talk about Joe Kennedy Sr. He's the father of John F. Kennedy, the president. So a lot of people don't know this, but Joe Kennedy Sr. was this really smart investor. Some people would say he did insider trading, potentially, you know, hard to tell, right? But Joe Kennedy Sr. was this very shrewd person. And one of his quotes that he's attributed for, he said, quote, "When the shoeshine boy gives stock tips, it's time to sell." So specifically, his story was that he was having his shoe shined in the 20s, 1920s, so it makes sense, right? There was a lot of shoe shine stations back in the 1920s. And he started getting stock tips from, you know, the 15-year-old boy that was doing the shoe shine for him. Think about times like 2008 or 2011, when the stock market wasn't necessarily very hot. You don't hear stories of normal people bragging about their investments. You don't hear investments come up in like normal conversation because it's not at all sexy to be investing when the market is doing really badly. When do you hear about the stock market? Just in common conversation. It's when there's just money just flowing everywhere and people are making all kinds of money, and even people that normally would never make a lot of money are making a ton of money. That's when you hear the stock market come up in conversation. Think about it again, like our investing course valuations. I think the right time to take the investing course is basically at any time because everybody needs this knowledge, right? But I just know that we see these, you know, when the market crashes, we see a lot fewer signups for our investing course. When the market's really high, we see a lot more. And I'm glad, because I think that anybody who buys it with the market being really high right now is going to protect themselves a lot and save a ton of money on taxes. So I'm glad that more people sign up for it. But think about it like this. I heard a waitress talking with an older guy when I visited my hometown recently. My hometown, a little out of the way place, certainly not a financial center. certainly not a place where people like to talk about the stock market very much in normal times. But this waitress was talking to this older guy, and she was talking about her GameStop stock. And she talked about how her boyfriend had flipped it for a big profit, and she was going to wait a little bit longer before she was going to flip it. And she was talking about all these different individual stocks that she was investing in. I don't have anything against that, like, good for people for investing, but that's not investing, that's speculating. That's no different than taking a bunch of money and throwing it at DraftKings and hoping that, you know, Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl. I mean, could it work out? Absolutely. Could you make a lot of money off of it? Of course. Is it something that you can bank on and know long term it's going to make this huge difference in your family's finances? No, it's not. And it's one thing if you have to sort of bet on a lottery ticket for your family's financial future because this society is so unequal and so unfair, and people do work that's not valued in a lot of cases, and you feel like you have to take that kind of lottery bet. I understand that's how you feel, but all of you listening to this, or almost all of you, went to some sort of university for some sort of degree program, be it a bachelor's degree or a graduate degree program. By definition, that means you have the capacity for your family making enough money to have a little bit left over to invest in a way that makes sense, that will make you wealthy one day. You know, I also, this past several months, have seen people on Facebook that I knew from childhood who were talking about Dogecoin and their investments, how it was going to go to the moon, and they were putting their money in a diversified basket of cryptos and things like that. That's all greed emotion. That's not investment. That's speculation, and that's really greed is the emotion that is. And a lot of people want me to talk about how crypto is going to be the next big thing and how to incorporate that into your investment portfolio. Crypto is valuable right now because there's extreme speculation in the market right now because interest rates are super low and the Federal Reserve is pumping $120 billion a month into the economy to keep interest rates artificially low. And we have a ton of stimulus money that people have not been able to spend on goods and services. And even, you know, goods and services right now, you have to wait several months, like cars, to actually get something for your money. And so speculation is continuing, and that's dangerous. And it's fine to speculate. I think 10%, 20% of your investing money, if you want to throw it into your fund money account or put it on, you know, a diversified crypto bet or some sort of individual stock, or you want to do, you know, don't ever sell options because that's, you can really blow yourself up. If you want to buy some options because you heard of options trading as fun or something, fine. But speculation is really dangerous and it's going to really hurt a lot of people. So you really need to be ready for what happens when things go the other way, because they will. I don't know if it's going to happen next month or next year or 5 years from now, but things are going to turn the other direction just because of the extreme sort of greed emotion that I'm seeing. The greed indicator in the economy right now is flashing red, and you have to be ready. One thing I'll say is because the risk is not at all feared right now, the credit risk in the market's not at all feared, it's a great time to get debt. So if you need to finance something like a practice loan, a mortgage, refinancing your student loans, it's like a historically good time to do those things right now. So what do you do for investing? I'll say this, if you just want a quick and dirty answer, 5% of your money to retirement, be that an IRA or 401k or something like that, and then open up a brokerage account and do $100 a month into that. If you don't know what you're doing, then work with a company like a Vanguard or a Betterment and just pay them to do it for you. So 5% to your retirement account, $100 a month to your non-retirement account, that's the starting point. And the goal is to push it way, way higher from there. So how good can you do? Okay, remember I said that even somebody making $30,000 a year could really benefit a lot from this course. Of course, somebody making 10 times that, like two physicians married to each other, could really transform their financial future even more. So let's do a little example of what somebody would do before taking an investment course and afterwards to see how much the student loan planner investing course could really change things for you. So let's say you're a physician, you don't really know what you're doing, and you put some money into, you know, your retirement, and you know, you have a little fund money account at Robinhood, and you're playing around with different cryptos and individual stocks. And basically, the speculation long term, if you think about playing at the casino, you're going to kind of break even, right? Or actually, you're going to lose money. And that's probably what will happen when you speculate in the markets too. But you know, you're not going to make a ton. Now, the retirement money, you'll do fine on that. You'll eventually have enough to retire at 70 or 65 or something if you just do the bare minimum as a physician because you have high incomes. But let's say you really plan. let's say you work at a state university hospital system and you're married to another physician. Each of you could do $19,500 each to a 403B, which is a type of retirement account, and a 457, which is an additional type of retirement account. You could put $78,000 away into pre-tax retirement and get a tax break on $78,000. On top of that, let's say the employer does a 10% match. So maybe you have another $40,000 coming from that. And let's say you also can sign up for a health savings account. So that is $125,000 a year towards retirement, all tax-free. And we help you avoid common mistakes too in our course. For example, a lot of people think $19,500 is the limit for what you can put in for employer and employee. That's not true. Your employer and employee contributions can actually be well over $50,000 combined. So a lot of people under-contribute to retirement thinking that their combined money into their retirement has to be $19,500. That's not true. The $19,500 limit is just your employee contribution limit. And if you pair it with the 457 too, that's an extra retirement account. So you could do two retirement accounts instead of one. And then you can even do more than that if you have a 401A or you have a 401K from another business. Let's say you're employed through your spouse's business. You could maybe do an individual 401K on top of that. So you can really do an insanely high amount towards retirement if you know what you're doing. And we cover that in one of our lessons in the course. So let's say you do the $125,000 tax-free to retirement, and then you do backdoor Roth IRAs, which we also cover. So that's $137,000. And then let's say you each do $1,000 a month into a brokerage account that you now know how to do after taking this course. So that's $24,000 in the brokerage account. Combined, that's about $160,000 in investments each year. Now, you might hear that and think, oh my gosh, I can never do that. Not true, right? Because about 120-something of that is going to be tax-free, and your tax rate as a student loan borrower, if you're making even low six figures, is going to be near 50% if you live in a state with an income tax because of your 10% to your loans and 5 to 10% to the state and then 24 or 32% towards the federal government. Putting away that much money might actually not cost you nearly as much as you might think. But anyways, let's say you were able to do that since 2000. Let's say you had done that amount of investing since 2000. That's 20 years ago, not 40, because 40 years, of course, you know, that's a long time. That's not realistic. But since the year 2000, which most of us were alive and conscious during that year, right? If you had invested that much since that year, today you would have $14 million. That's enough money for $560,000 a year of passive income. That is a ton. If you learn how to invest, like there's probably two dozen ways that this course can pay for itself with the different kind of ideas that we have in it. So I'm really excited because we've got some bonus content that I've added to it. We've got updates on the housing market and how to play that and find relative value. So I just went through this process. My wife and I together, we were actually finally got a house that we got our offer accepted, and we didn't necessarily compete with 40 other offers. We were very strategic in how we did it. So I kind of share my lessons that I learned taking, you know, investment lessons and applying it to putting in a housing bid and that journey and maybe how you can save some money if you're trying to buy a house in the next year or two. We also talk about the possible crash in the stock market coming up in the next few years, what to do post-COVID, post-pandemic. We also talk about how to invest for yourself because that's the goal that after taking this investing course, six-figure debt to six-figure net worth, you would be able to invest on your own. It doesn't have to be super complicated. You do need to know the simple way to do it and the complicated ways to do it and know which parts to use and which ones to ignore. You can absolutely invest for yourself and save thousands and thousands of dollars by doing it yourself. And even if you choose to go on and hire somebody to do it, this knowledge is going to allow you to choose somebody who knows what they are doing, right? It's kind of like if you were going to hire a contractor for a home to remodel your house, you don't necessarily need to know how to rip apart the stairs and rip apart the kitchen, but you want to know enough about choosing a contractor where you can pick one that's going to treat you fairly and do a good job. And investing compared to a lot of things out there, basically anything that you got your degree to do, investing is way simpler. The problem is there's so much noise and there's so much just misinformation out there about how to invest for the long term. And that's what we're trying to cut through and just give you the stuff that you need to know to do a great job with your own portfolio and generate financial freedom for you and your family and get passive income. So here's what's going on. Our investing course is available today, tomorrow, and Thursday, if you're listening to this when this podcast comes out. So that's 2 days, basically. You have the opportunity to sign up and get $100 off. The course is $400, but with the discount that we give to our podcast listeners, you can get it for $299. If you look at other investing courses out there, they typically charge $1,000 plus if they're targeting graduate degree professionals. So we're giving better, more targeted information on investing for less than a third of the cost. I want as many people to have this knowledge as possible. So that's why I've kept the price low and why we're offering this additional discount to knock it down to below $300 at $299. I want even social workers and residents to be able to access this knowledge. Even if you're still in school, I want you to be able to afford this. Now, if you have a higher income, you will get even more value out of this course, because there's stuff for all income levels. So for example, if you're a social worker making $30,000 or $40,000 a year, we show you how to avoid needing to have a financial advisor, which is going to save you $3,000 per year minimum. If you're high income, we talk about tax-free bond investing, so you can eliminate taxes on your interest income and get way more yield and passive income for the same dollars that you're investing. Like I said, there's over 24 ways this course could pay for itself, and we have all new bonus content about the housing market and the current state of investing with this high inflation, really just speculative market environment that's going to protect you and your family from making bad mistakes, but it's also going to help you get started. Remember that your debt is, at worst, an income tax. It's not really debt, because you can't say that a credit card debt can be paid at 10% of your income for 20 years. So worst case scenario, your student debt is a tax, which means that the main thing that you need to conquer financially is how to invest and grow your assets. And even if you are paying off your loans with the refinancing type strategy, you need to learn how to invest and prioritize that, because paying off your debt is certainly a great thing, but it's not going to transform your financial future and give you passive income. It's just going to eliminate one of your bills, which is important, but you got to know how to invest so that you can eventually have enough passive income to not have to work anymore unless you want to. To sign up for the six-figure debt to six-figure net worth investing course, go to studentloanplanner.com/investing. If you're on our email list, you can also check out the discount code there as well. But if you go to studentloanplanner.com/investing, you will see the course with the $100 off discount. I'm really excited about this investing course because it's probably the best thing that we do, because the student loan plan will take somebody from feeling hopeless to feeling very hopeful about their future financially, but it can't transform somebody's finances like knowing how to invest can, because the very most I can do is save someone tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars on their student loans by optimizing their student loan strategy when I'm making a student loan plan for somebody. But when I show somebody how to invest, I can transform their financial future. And the goal of this course is to get you to six figures of net worth within 5 years. That's what the average student should be able to achieve. Some of you will do it much faster than that. Some it'll take a little bit longer if you have a lower income. But regardless, you will get to a six-figure net worth in much faster period of time than you ever could have dreamed of, just by knowing how to invest and knowing what steps to take first and second and third, and just having an action plan. It really makes a world of difference. And we've actually updated this course, I think, about 6 or 7 times. This is something that you buy, but you have it for your lifetime. And you also have all the future updates that we do that you have access to lifetime. So that's really good, because whenever there's a change in the market environment, we add new material, we update the backtesting spreadsheet so you can model what kind of returns you get over certain periods of time. So the people who signed up the very beginning are getting all of these updates. They've gotten 5, 6, 7 updates that I've done for included in that one-time fee. And we haven't raised the price yet. So I will say, if there is a lot of inflation in the market, we might increase that, right? But I really do want to try to keep it low and keep it a great, tremendous value where it just is a no-brainer for even people of a modest income to sign up for. studentloanplanner.com/investing. If you have any questions, reach out to help@studentloanplanner.com. I really hope you sign up for this if you haven't already, because it will really transform your financial future. I'm positive about it. That's why we have a money-back guarantee, a 7-day money-back guarantee. If for any reason at all, you don't think it was worth 10 times what you paid for it, why don't you just send an email to any of our student loan planner email addresses and just ask for a refund, and we'll find your login and find your purchase and refund it if you don't think it's the best thing you've done all year. Studentloanplanner.com/investing. It's $100 off for the next 2 days. I hope you sign up and take control of your financial future. Studentloanplanner.com/investing. Thanks, everybody.